I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway of the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. On today's show, we'll take a closer look at the Iowa Hawkeyes with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and Badgers safety Leo Musso is going to join us to discuss his breakout season and how the perception of him as a player has changed over his career with Wisconsin. First, though, let's take a few minutes to talk about where this Badgers team stands after these two losses to Michigan and Ohio State. This season has been somewhat of a roller coaster ride offensively. We saw the struggles of not finding the end zone against Georgia State for nearly three quarters, and a Michigan loss a few weeks ago where the only time Wisconsin threatened to score was because of an interception that gave them a short field. But then there was also Alex Hornibrook's breakout game against Michigan State and last week's near upset of Ohio State, where the running game finally started to find its footing. Defensively, it's been better than anyone could have anticipated. There was really no drop-off in the secondary, like everyone thought there would be, and the front seven is somehow more dominant than it was last season. All in all, we've learned that this team can compete with anybody in the country, and its offense, you know, if its offense can figure some things out, it can be even better. You know, I was discussing some playoff scenarios on Twitter after the Ohio State loss, and one Wisconsin fan said he was rolling his eyes after some fans were still talking about those possibilities after a second loss. Well, guess what, man? Your team is ranked in the top 10 with 7 weeks to go in the season. They more or less just have to win, you know, move up six spots in the next 7 weeks and you're in. If you're a Wisconsin fan, why wouldn't you be trying to figure out how your team can get into the playoffs? Everybody's goal at the beginning of the year is to win the national championship, and if that's possible in any way midway through the season, I don't know why you'd dismiss it. You know, it isn't as if they just lost to Northwestern or Iowa. The Badgers lost two close games against the second and third best teams in the country, and they'll have one of the strongest schedules of teams competing for those playoff spots if they continue to win. Wisconsin's favored by 3.5 points this weekend at Iowa, and they'll continue to be favored in the rest of their games in the regular season if they keep winning. I can guarantee you that if they beat Iowa this week, they are going to be favored at home against Nebraska, and they should be. As long as Nebraska fails to win in Columbus in a few weeks too, winning out at least gets the Badgers to Indianapolis. And after watching Saturday night's overtime loss, is it really that hard to imagine Wisconsin winning a rematch in the Big Ten championship game? And sure, I know one loss Michigan and Ohio State teams could still get in over a Badgers team that just won the conference. But maybe they wouldn't. Maybe the committee values the conference title more than the loss column. It's also not impossible for two or even three Big Ten teams to make the playoffs in that scenario. A lot of crazy things can happen. And we've seen late season drama almost every year in college football. We aren't in the days of the BCS anymore either. It's much easier to get to number four than it is to get to number two, especially when you've passed the eye test against great teams and you have, you know, actual human beings deciding who those top four teams are. Remember too that Ohio State was ranked number 13 at this point in 2014 and went on to win the national championship. Now, after all this, could Wisconsin lose at Iowa this weekend and render all this moot? Absolutely they could. But it's okay to have some optimism if you're a Wisconsin fan. You know, when everyone was panicking after the Georgia State game, I said on this podcast that there's reason to believe the Badgers could get through this brutal start to conference play with just two losses. This team has proven itself to be really good over these first six games, and in this current landscape of college football, any fan base even near the top 10 at this point in the season shouldn't dismiss any possibilities their team could have a couple months down the road.
We are now joined by Mark Morehouse on the podcast, who covers Iowa for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. How are you, Mark?
Good, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I think, you know, when you look at this Iowa team, I think, you know, most people saw them as the favorites to repeat as West champions before the season. It hasn't really gone as planned so far, but did you expect this team to be as good as last year, or are you not really surprised to see them struggle a little bit early on?
Well, I picked them to win the West. I did not see them losing to North Dakota State at home. Not at all.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did. I didn't expect them to lose to Northwestern at home. I thought maybe they might have lost a game before the Wisconsin game this weekend, but I would have thought maybe it would have been Minnesota or maybe even something weird happening against Iowa State, but not really even that. I thought they'd have a cleaner record going into the most important stretch of their season. I keep going back to North Dakota State. I didn't see that one coming, so I don't think anybody did. And I think that's kind of led to a little bit of expectation, a little cognitive dissonance there on what people thought this team might have been and what it really is in reality.
Does that really affect a team, you think, when an opponent like North Dakota State, you know, comes into Kinnick Stadium and is able to get that win? You think there's a sort of like a lingering mental doubt that creeps over the team when something like that happens?
I don't think so, but if you look at what Iowa is and what Iowa wants to be or believes it to be every year, a power football team, runs a fairly conservative offense that likes to think it can get by with strong running backs and strong offensive line play and maybe some clean quarterback play. North Dakota State came into Kinnick and was better at that. And kind of, you know, I can't remember who it was, but there was a quote a couple of years ago. Iowa played somebody. I want to say Iowa won at Michigan in 2002, and one of the Michigan players said, they came in and stole our manhood. And that kind of what North Dakota State did, really. I mean, they played Iowa's type of game and just was much better at it. So I think maybe that did give the team a little bit of a hangover for a while. The Northwestern game, it clearly lacked. I mean, one of the big things that was a real mess early in the year was run defense, and it really came home to roost in the Northwestern game. Iowa was headed toward, before the last couple of weeks, when it's really kind of straightened up, they were headed toward a rush defense, allowing 182 yards. When they were 4-8 in 2012, that group allowed 162 yards a game. So they were heading towards some Ferentz era lows, and it's been 18 years of Ferentz. So they were headed to some real lows. Last couple of weeks have straightened out. Of course, there's an ultimate test coming up here this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you what you think the biggest difference was between this year and last year. Is it just the rushing defense, or is there a lot more to it than that?
You know, that's part of it. The offense is really kind of it hasn't been able to run the ball in its losses. North Dakota State held it to, I want to say, and I'm probably missing like 5 yard variance here, but they were held to like 39 yards rushing against North Dakota State, which was, I know for sure, their lowest output in rushing in 36 games. So an FCS school, North Dakota State, you know, granted, we both know, living in the upper Midwest, that they've kind of outgrown that whole FCS thing, but still on its face, what people around the country see is a team from an FCS conference come in and play, steal your game. I mean, play a better game. I mean, North Dakota State rushed for, I want to say, 239 yards or something like that. So it was a real reversal of what people thought would happen and kind of woke everybody up to what Iowa might be or might not be. But yeah, just the overall rush defense, what it has or hasn't been able to do in rush offense, has kind of marked what this team, you know, it fell out of the top 25, and I don't see it getting back in this year unless it has a huge November and end of October and starting this weekend.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz talked about, you know, the rushing defense this week on the Big Ten teleconference, like, saying, you know, that they have improved, but it was a big issue early in the year. You know, you look at the Purdue game last week, they did pretty good job of stopping the run, but they still gave up 35 points. What do you kind of, you know, make of this defense as a whole, you know, midway through the season? Because I know that was, you know, that was a real strength last year.
Yeah, I think you asked the other party. I'm going to get to the other part of your question before I kind of blanked out. But the defense hasn't been as, you know, last year was a top 20 in the country type defense. Yeah. You know, the deficit it's built up for itself as far as rush defense is kind of, it won't get there this year. And that for sure is a real, why they're not 12-0.
Yeah.
put that in that category for sure. But the defense not being what it was last year definitely is, marked its season to now. I think it can be, and I think it's improving. I think the safety play has gotten a little bit better the last few weeks, which was a real kind of a negative, or just up and down. I mean, I look at a player like Brandon Snyder, who was burned in the for a touchdown in the North Dakota State game, had a pretty awful Northwestern game, but then created a turnover that set up the winning touchdown at Rutgers, had two turnovers against Minnesota, a recovery and an interception. They're kind of riding a wave with some of the younger guys on defense, and teams have been able to find the weaknesses and exploit them. Saturday, I think it's on better footing. But overall, one of the things you brought up, Iowa last year and this year, I look at the Wisconsin game and look at who Iowa didn't play last year in the Wisconsin game. You know, Corey Clement was not on the field for that game. I think in a game where, you know what came down to that fumble on the goal line, those kind of elements or variables or just those kind of, the things that pushed Iowa over last year have kind of not come their way this year. Things like Corey Clement not playing, things like four interceptions by Tommy Armstrong at Nebraska. Now the season can play out, and Iowa still has a chance to have a say in where it ends up this year. But that's been one of the big differences. I mean, they're facing. I mean, Josh Ferguson at Illinois. Iowa didn't play against him last year, and he's in the NFL now, having a pretty good rookie year. So those little things, those things have washed up on Iowa's shore so far.
Yeah, those things do seem to kind of balance out usually. I think you look at, Michigan State too. Everything seemed to kind of break right for them last year, and they won all their close games and, made the playoffs, and they're kind of falling off this year. And then, of course, Iowa, like we've been talking about this whole time, caught some breaks last year too. And obviously that's not the only reason those teams are performing up to standard this year, but I think those things kind of balance out, like you mentioned. Do you still give Iowa a chance in the West? I mean, obviously this is a team that, has only one conference loss right now.
Yeah, I still do. I think it's the defense that has brought it, as the kids say, the defense has brought it the last few weeks. And if they can sustain that, and this is obviously, job number one this week, I see this, if they can make Wisconsin semi one-dimensional, it has a chance. If it can I think Penn State kind of comes one-dimensional, it has a chance to win there too. I think the Michigan game, I think I'm going to kind of just write off until Michigan proves that it is coming back to coming back to earth. They're on a different plane, I think, than most of the teams in the West right now. But, the Nebraska the same way. I think Iowa has a chance to have a say in what it is. I think the defense, the way it's been playing, gives it a chance. Now, points are going to, last week they exploded for 49. All I have to say about that is Purdue, I kept watching in the fourth quarter to see if Darryl Hazel was still on the sideline, and he still was. And, he wasn't. That was the last time. Purdue is not Wisconsin. Purdue is not, obviously wasn't Northwestern. It's not Nebraska. Iowa has its work cut out for it. I think offense will really struggle to score points this weekend. I think 10 points isn't going to win it. And Iowa has already had 2 14-7 victories. So I that's really the job. That's, if I was going to win, it's going to have to score more than 3 touchdowns, I think.
Yeah. The fact that this team is, the defending Western champions, and they do only have the one conference loss. It seems like, after they lost in North Dakota State, a lot of people just kind of wrote them off, after, those first two losses. But does the team use that as motivation at all? Do they want to really, come out here at home this week where they haven't won since, I think, the second week of the season and kind of make a statement against a top 10 team?
Yeah, if they do, they don't really ever talk about that kind of thing. That's just kind of the Ferentz way, and I get it. And I'm sure it's a lot, same with Paul Wisconsin and Paul Chris. I mean, they're not going to go out and advertise they're going to climb Mount Everest without having, at least being halfway up. Iowa's not there yet, and I think Wisconsin has proven it can trade punches with the best, but, it still has work to do in front of it, too. Obviously, I think some of that stuff does serve as motivation, but I also think motivation is not going to help them. Right now, Iowa's best wide receiver is a former walk-on who's probably about 5'8". Motivation's not going to grow him a 6'2" wide receiver with, you know, 4'4" speed. This week they might be missing their best tight end in George Kittle. He's a fantastic player, great run blocker, good in the passing game. Iffy for Saturday. Motivation's really not going to help his foot heal any quicker. So motivation's a nice thing to think about and talk about with this team. But when it comes to, you know, push comes to shove, you know, is it going to be good enough on the line of scrimmage against the Badgers? Is it going to be able to make plays and grind out some points?
Can we get a score prediction from you before you go?
Oh, man, I haven't gotten that far yet. But you know what? I'm going to go old school. It seems like when Iowa, Wisconsin, except for this year when Wisconsin went up and stole Michigan State's manhood, come to pull things full circle, I'm going to go something like 1916 Badgers. I just see a field goal type fest, and I see neither coach really, you know, make it. They're not going to. It's not going to be a big play fest. I don't think either coach will look to make it a big play fest. I think if somebody gets out, you know, like a 10-point lead or a double-digit lead and of any sort, they'll kind of grind it out and be happy with 1 or 2 yard gains. And that's really the magic of this game, I think, is, you know, whichever team can, you know, kind of stay the course with, you know, the 1 or 2 yard gains and, you know, be happy with the 3 and out that gives them a little bit of field position, whoever stays that course the longest and doesn't flinch is going to win.
Thanks for joining us, Mark.
You bet, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Leo Musso, Badgers safety, now joins us here on the Red Zone podcast. Leo, how you doing?
Very good. Very good.
Now, I know, you know, when you had that fumble return against Michigan State, it kind of came back up that you played a lot of running back in high school back in the day at Wanakee. But yeah, I think some people don't realize how kind of absurd your stats were in high school. 5,500 yards, 87 touchdowns. I was watching some of your high school highlights earlier too, and I mean, your offensive line was really good, but you were definitely making some people miss, breaking some tackles. Did you really have your sights set on playing running back here at Wisconsin or at the next level?
No, I kind of knew there were some places that running back was in the picture, but I knew coming here that I'd probably have to switch to the other side of the ball. And really, I just kind of looked at that as an opportunity to kind of increase my love of the game of football and learn completely about a whole different side of the ball that I wasn't used to. I didn't know, when I first came in here, I didn't know the difference between like a cover one or a cover two. And I guess it's kind of crazy to think about how much progress I've made mentally and physically. You know, obviously in high school I was running forward all the time. Now I'm always running backwards. So it's kind of different from that aspect.
You must have been a little lost at first.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what cover one, cover
100%. I was lost. Like I remember going into some of those meetings with Shelton Johnson and those guys, and they'd ask you to draw up formations, and it's like you'd never even heard of some of these. I couldn't draw them up. And but you know, as I kind of moved along, older guys helped me, and coaches kind of helped me, and try to take that initiative to get ahead mentally more than anything.
Do you feel like you could play running back for a team like this, but you know, at this level, do you think you could go out there and be productive?
I don't know. You know what? I'd like to say yeah, just because I'm always going to compete, but I don't know if it's, you know, we got two great running backs now with Dari and Corey, but you know, it's hard to say. I haven't played a single snap of college running back at in the Big Ten level, so it's hard to say.
It's hard to give that up. I mean, you played running back for so long, you know, played so well. Was it a hard position for you to give up? I guess you made the decision to.
No, I wouldn't say it was hard to give up. I really like defense, and I kind of really like the mentality a defensive player kind of carries. You know, offense, you're kind of very reserved, and whereas defense, you can kind of be a little more crazy.
And you started against Alabama last year at safety, and then they moved Tanner over, I guess, the next week. Was that really difficult for you? It looked like you had just, you know, won a starting job, and then it turns out maybe you don't have it the rest of the year. Was that a difficult thing to kind of swallow last year?
Yeah, I mean, it always hurts when you kind of move from a starting position and get moved down. You know, that sucks, but it's just one of those things where you always got to be ready, and You know, sure enough, the next game when we played Miami of Ohio, my number was called, and that's just kind of the game of football. You know, you never know how many snaps you'll get or who's going to come up or who's going to go down. You just kind of always got to be level-headed and be ready.
Did that kind of motivate you at all this past offseason? Did you come into this year thinking, you know, this is my last chance to start, my last chance to make a big impact?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's really what it was, is try not to think about anything else. Football was my number one priority, which it always has been, but especially this year, it's my last year, and you know, you truly never know what, you know, any one of these snaps could be my last snap. So that's kind of the approach I've been taking it, and just been bought in 100%.
Now, I saw a quote. There's a book that came out called Walk On This Way recently, and it's about the walk-on program here. But I saw a quote in there from Jim Leonard, and he said that it always really bothered him that people called him the undersized overachiever. He just felt like he was a really good football player. And I feel like you kind of fit in that same category sometimes. People look at you and think that you're a little undersized, and maybe they don't realize how athletic you are. But does that ever bother you, the way people have viewed you in the past? Obviously, you're making a lot of plays now, and I think people are coming around to how good you can be as a safety. But did that ever bother you at all?
I wouldn't say that it was something that like ate away at me, but it is definitely a chip that I carried on my shoulder. Just, you know, any time that I'd go to a college game, I always felt like I could play with a lot of the guys. It's one of those things where I really hate watching. I'd rather be out there playing. So it's just kind of that mentality. Just have a, you know, work hard and keep that chip on your shoulder.
The secondary's been probably, at least for us outside the program, one of the surprises of the season on this team, how well you guys have played. But did anybody in that DB room get a little ticked off in the offseason when people were saying the secondary was going to drop off this year?
Yeah, absolutely. We knew our talent level, and the thing was we've had guys who played games, maybe not in that starting role, but a lot of guys had a lot of experience. And the good thing is we were young and hungry to kind of go out and prove what we had. And we knew the talent that we had back there and the trust that we have in one another.
I think some people don't realize, I guess, how difficult it can be to play defensive back sometimes, especially when you're in a one-on-one situation and don't know which way the receiver's going to go. And I don't know if you saw, you know, Derek Tindall's tweet after the game against Ohio State, but he felt like he let his team down 2 weeks in a row, giving up the game-winning touchdown. But what do you kind of say to a guy like that that has had such a great season, and then, you know, those two plays, he feels like he's really let you guys down?
Well, the first thing we told him is we loved him, and you know, obviously after the game, he took it pretty hard. But it never comes down to one play in a football game. Obviously, that comes with our position. You know, is we're always that last line of defense, and it's kind of like a high risk, high reward type of position we play. You know, everybody sees when we mess up. If one guy catches one ball on us the entire game, then OT can't cover. And you know, whereas if a receiver drops a couple balls, but he has seven catches and 200 yards, he's a great receiver. So that's just kind of what comes with our position, and we know that. And but yeah, one play doesn't define who you are as a player.
Now that you guys do have those two losses, I mean, you guys have talked a lot this week about how none of your goals really change. You just kind of go forward, and the two losses doesn't really kill your season or anything. But do you feel like there's a little bit more pressure to kind of get on a roll here when, you know, if you lose another game, it kind of becomes really hard to win the division at that point? Is there any more pressure on these upcoming games, knowing that you kind of have to get going here?
No, because you don't approach each week differently. And you know, you hear a lot that, oh, well, at least you hung with the number two and the number four team, and you know what? We still lost those games. We don't look at rankings. Those are games that we lost that we obviously were trying and wanted to win. So you don't really try to focus too much on the you know, what the future holds. You just try to take it one week at a time.
We got to get to class.
Yeah.
You're a student athlete, I guess.
Fortunately, yeah, I do.
So I'm going to let you go. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week. As always, I'll be on Facebook Live before and after Saturday's game against Iowa. I'll go on about an hour or an hour and a half before the game, and I'll do another chat at some point afterward. Follow me on Twitter at Jason_Galloway to find out exactly when I'll be starting those chats. And make sure to keep visiting Madison.com for all your Badgers football news. Thanks for listening.